So my family did tell me to stop telling Thanksgiving jokes, but I can't quit cold turkey. So what role do green beans play at Thanksgiving? The casserole. You'll get that one later. What kind of key can't open doors? A turkey. What did the turkey say to the turkey hunter on Thanksgiving Day? Quack, quack. Why did the turkey play the drums in his band? Because he already had his drumsticks. And why did the turkey cross the road twice? To prove that he wasn't chicken. So, of course, we're talking about Thanksgiving today. And we're talking about having a thankful heart. This time of year, Ashley and I, we honestly can't help but be reminded of how good God is. About five years ago this week, we got the privilege to start changing diapers and mixing formula again. And you guys, some of you guys may not realize how special that was to us because we struggled to conceive with Gracie. You know, we tried for 3.5 years. That's a lot of months of finding out that you're not pregnant. You're not pregnant. You're not pregnant. It's a lot of discouragement in that time as well. We had all kinds of people praying for us. We had went to see specialists. They had told us that we would not conceive naturally, and they were giving us options, and we heard from God, no, that's not the way, that's not the way, that's not the way. And so we hung to that. We clung to that. Is that a word? Yeah, I think so. But of course, we have the blessing, the grace He is. And it's a constant reminder, I mean, especially in this Thanksgiving season that we get, that it's God's showing us how He's faithful. I would say, we sang about that this morning, how faithful God is. And it's something that we're just so thankful for. I forgot to tell you to start turning to Psalm 100, so I'll give you guys a few seconds to get there. Gracie, you know, she's truly different for us. Because she, I would say, Addison's 10, and we think even try to think back to how she was at 5, and their night and day difference. There's no instruction manual when it comes to raising kids, but even with her strong personality, we are so thankful for Gracie. So Psalm 100, starting in verse 1, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. It starts out, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless Him, bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. And Psalm 100 is somewhat popular. It's oftentimes quoted. But so often when we hear Psalm 100, we think of either verse 1, where it says to make a joyful shout to the Lord, or verse 4, where it says to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. But there is so much more in this psalm that all links together and that all has a common theme. It says to serve with gladness. If you're not serving with gladness and you're not glad about serving, you're losing out on the big picture oftentimes. Just this week, we had the opportunity. We're not a drop-off location this year for Operation Christmas Child, so we actually took the boxes to somewhere else. And so we took them to a different church this year than we normally had taken to before, because we know that they're set up for actually cartoning them and doing things that make it easier for the overall process. So we met some new people, and we showed up with a trailer, and they're looking and they're going, "Please tell us this is full." They were actually having gladness to have a lot, over 300 boxes to unload. They were having gladness to see all those gospel opportunities. It was encouraging because it was one of those things that you see that and you see Scripture coming to life in a believer. And that gladness had to be floating out of their heart. They had a joy that came from it. The psalmist continues, "Come before his presence with singing." And a couple of the songs we sang this morning talk about singing to God. I'll say, Sean had no clue what my message was going to be today. And both of those songs we're singing of his goodness. We're singing of him. And that singing, it's like Ginger was saying, when you're incorporating multiple parts, when you're incorporating what you're seeing or reading with something that's more of a free spirit that's coming out of your very heart, it really sinks in and just creates a whole new environment that ministers to us. One thing with here at New Life is all the songs we sing are to honor God. We don't just play things that have a catchy tune or a catchy beat. Every one is purposeful in how it honors God. And of course, when we sing joyfully because God is worthy of having joy coming out of our hearts. He continues to say, "Know that the Lord, He is God." He is God, not us. Sometimes that's difficult to start thinking about because we think, especially here in America, that we've got it under control, that we can do it. As a lot of toddlers say, I can do it myself. But we can recognize God for who He is, being God. He's the one who created the world. He's the one who spoke it into existence. He's the one who formed everything here, including us. He set it all into motion. Continues with saying that it is He who made us, not ourselves. We've all heard the phrase, there is a God, and you're not Him. Sometimes we need to be saying that in the mirror. He's the one who's brought blessings on our lives. It's not us. I don't say it's like Ginger was just talking about, that you realize that you can't really do anything on your own. You realize how God's got His hand on all of it. But John, I work hard for the things that I buy. I work hard for the things that I do. But think about it. How do you think you got that work ethic to show up to your job every day and do a good job and maintain that job to be able to buy the things that God allows you to buy? Who do you think blessed your hands or your mind to be able to do that as well? This is one of the things that I kind of struggled with when I was first saved, because I was able to do a lot of things. God's gifted my mind and He's gifted my hands. So there wasn't a whole lot that I couldn't do. And so I kind of struggled sometimes of how I'm not supposed to be doing things on my own and letting God do it. And then once I got that revelation that God designed me this way. God's the one who put all these things to be able to where I can do things, where I'm able to do them mentally. I'm able to do them physically. I understand how to interact between them. But it's all because of God. And in today's society, they tell us that it's all about us. It's all about being number one. It's all about how we can go out and do our own thing. If we want to go out and buy the most expensive or the biggest, fill in the blank, you could. And that's what almost gives you social status. That's what gives you the ability to say that I am somebody. Does God want us to prosper? Absolutely. But he wants us to do it in a way that we're able to bless others with whatever it is that we're doing. And so often we aren't thankful because we think we had a part in that blessing. That somehow we made it happen. No, you were just being obedient to Holy Spirit and his prompting for what you were supposed to be doing. And because of that, you give the glory to God. And you're thankful that God's counted you faithful to do what he's asked you to do. Heard it said plenty of times, without God, you're zero with the rim kicked off. I'll say we're nothing without him. The very definition of being thankful is being appreciative or expressing feeling gratitude. We have that feeling down in our heart of being appreciative for what God has done for us. Recognizing that he is doing something that only he can do. With a thankful heart, we remove our desires and recognize that every good thing does come from God. You see, thankfulness works on our hearts and prepares us for doing business in the throne room of God. The psalmist continued and says, more common part of the psalm, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. We've talked here recently about gates and that being where the business is done, where decisions are made. So you think about whose gates we're entering into. We're entering into the kingdom of God. We're entering into the ruling body of the kingdom of God. We're entering into the king's area himself. And we're to do that with thanksgiving. And then we're also supposed to enter into his courts with praise. Praise and thanksgiving so often go hand in hand. Praise is when we express our approval and admiration of something. Since I'm talking about kids this morning, some too, you think about praise and how you praise your kids when they do something as they're learning. How to do simple things like potty training. But that praise, you really approve and admire that they're trying it and that they're doing it, that you approve of what they're doing. So when we praise God, we're expressing that we appreciate what he's doing and how he's moving and who he is. We're to be thankful to him and bless his name. We should be blessing his name. Every word that comes out of our mouth should bless God. With how our country acts right now, it's amazing that we celebrate a holiday that is meant for giving thanks, especially in 2020 here. With all the strife, that we would actually recognize that we're thankful as a country. Thanksgiving has become more of a tradition than an attitude of gratitude. Don't get me wrong, traditions are good, as long as you recognize why you follow those traditions, why the traditions were created even in the first place. So this last week, I did some research to determine what's the non-politically correct origin of Thanksgiving here in the U.S. I say politically correct because they want to change what they view should be Thanksgiving here. But it's important for us to realize how our God, or how our country was founded on godly principles and respect and humility for God. The tradition of celebrating the holiday on Thursday dates back to the early history of Plymouth and Massachusetts Bay colonies, when post-harvest holidays were celebrated on the weekday regularly set aside as Lecture Day, a midweek church meeting where topical sermons were presented. So that's the reason why we celebrate on Thursdays. The whole nation celebrates it on Thursday because that's how the church celebrated it to start with. They gathered as a church meeting to celebrate it. A famous Thanksgiving observance occurred in the autumn of 1621 when Plymouth Governor William Bradford invited local Native Americans to join the pilgrims in a feast after their first harvest as a way of thanking God for their blessings. So right there, the origins of it was to glorify God and thank Him for what He is doing. Thanksgiving became an annual custom throughout New England in the 17th and 18th centuries. And in 1777, the Continental Congress declared the first national American Thanksgiving following the Patriot victory at Saratoga. In 1789, President George Washington became the first president to proclaim a Thanksgiving holiday, when at the request of Congress, he proclaimed November 26th, a Thursday, as a day of national thanksgiving for the providence and favor of God on the people of the nation. However, it was not until 1863 when Abraham Lincoln declared Thanksgiving to officially fall on the last Thursday of November. That modern holiday was celebrated nationally. And you guys can look up both George Washington's proclamation and Lincoln's 1863 proclamation. And I encourage you guys to read it for yourselves because there's a lot there that I don't want to go through and read it all here because that's not what I'm intending to do today. But go ahead and look it up online. There's plenty of copies of it out there. But with the Lincoln 1863 address, he specifically spells out it is a time for our nation to give thanks for the wonderful providence of Almighty God, even in the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude. That sounds a lot like today as well. And if a declaration for Thanksgiving can come in the midst of a civil war, we can realize how to be thankful even in the midst of division of our government and a virus causing disruption as well. So with a few deviations, Lincoln's precedent was followed annually by every president until FDR. And Franklin Roosevelt, he, on November 26, 1941, signed a bill into law officially making the fourth Thursday in November the national holiday of Thanksgiving Day. And who said history was boring in school? I'll say it's fun to see that when you see how God has operated in this country, that it's not what the media tries to make the narrative of. It's the history of the founding fathers and where they saw value. So we should be thankful for everything that God does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Out of the Amplified Bible, rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Out of the Message Bible, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. And finally, the Passion Translation. Let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer. In the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. So often we as adults, we pray for our needs and pray for things of how we think the answer should be. We have a tendency to run to God with a list of prayers and not spend time actually giving Him thanks and recognizing what He has done. If you think about it, you run in, you pray, and you leave. I'll say, I'm not sure about you, but if somebody came in, hey, I need this, and this, 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 and they leave without actually giving thanks for what you've done, recognizing what you've done in the past, it's kind of hard to swallow. Thankfully, though, God does not give up on us. He forgives us even when we do stupid stuff like that. I mean, I'll admit it. He wants to spend time to recognize and give Him glory and give Him praise for what He has done and thanksgiving as well. I'll say you might think of it even in your house, whoever makes a meal, you may not tell them thank you all the time on it. Or you may just assume that it's just kind of taken for granted because they always make the meal. But you want to make sure that they know that they're appreciated. And Ashley does do the cooking, and yes, it's good. And so oftentimes when we're praying in that, I'm encouraged by Gracie. And she's, like I said, she's a little bit different, and it's enlightening, and it's fun to hear her prayers. Because we'll be praying, and she'll thank God for the leaves on the trees. She'll thank God for the rain to grow the grass. She'll thank God for cows and sunshine. One time, out of nowhere, she even thanked God for our neighbors. We hadn't talked to them in a bit, but she still thanked God for them. And sometimes it's good because it means we need to latch on to some of that childlike faith and just get, I mean, that, I don't say not to keep harping on The Chosen, but the episode with the children, it's good to see that childlike faith sometimes. Because we get lost. We get lost with the distractions of the world. We get lost with the cares of the world and what we think needs to be done. And sometimes it's just, I mean, it's like Mary and Martha, where sometimes you just need to step back and see and sit at the feet of Jesus. So yes, we thank God for all things, even the little things that He puts in our head. Sometimes it's just a memory even. Just a memory that pops out of nowhere of someone. And it was just something that you needed at that point. And it's good to realize and thank God for that memory. Thank God for that thought that just popped into your head even. It can bring joy when we least expect it as well. But here in Thessalonians, it also says to be thankful in all things or in any circumstance. Paul wrote the letter, and he was no stranger to being in circumstances that were less than appealing. A lot of the things that Paul went through was not necessarily enjoyable. I mean, this is the same Paul that was shipwrecked. This is the same Paul that was thrown into jail multiple times. It's the same Paul that was bit by a poisonous snake. And he's telling us to be thankful in any circumstance. If Paul can do it, we can do it. Same Holy Spirit's in us as was in Paul. It's easy to thank God for things, thanking Him for keeping us safe in this time, thanking Him for healings that we've received, thanking Him for a job or finances that are coming in, thanking Him for a house over our head. But thanking God when we're really going, when things are really getting tough, when we're actually going through something, that's when to thank Him, because He'll show us that He will sustain us in that time. Sometimes we can thank God for putting somebody who is difficult to agree with on stuff in our lives, because it'll open doors that you would never have the ability to open with had you not had to talk to them about something, had you not had to interact with them. That may have been a reason why you were the one that they encountered, not somebody else. So we're to be thankful in all circumstances. So a lot of you that came to the fall gathering, you probably noticed the house on the way in that was actually had been burnt about a year ago. And that's actually, it was another pastor in town here, his house, that was living there at the time. And I talked with him a few times the week following the fire and that, and he was constantly just, he was so thankful that nobody was hurt. He was so thankful that nobody was, that it wasn't the middle of the night when everybody was sleeping, because that end of the house was the kids' bedrooms. He was thankful for all that, even though I could tell as he was going through stuff that it's, I mean, he had a lot of stuff that, I mean, it did a lot of damage there. They had lost a lot of physical things, but he was still thankful in it. He had a thankful heart that God was still in control through it all. As I was preparing this message, I also remembered a few years ago that we were chasing our cows across the countryside. If you're ever waiting for the cows to come home, I'll give you a little bit of advice. They don't. So some of you have heard the story before, though, that our cows got loose. That's what happens when you don't close the gate. Oops. As a birthday present, because it was on her birthday even, so, yep. But, so we had our cows get out, and we had trapped them into a field about a mile away. And we had one cow that he figured out one thing. He can jump. So three times he jumped a fence or a gate. And so, I mean, it took us a few weeks with, you catch him, he jumps. You catch him again, he jumps. So it took us a few weeks to get him settled down to where we might actually get him in a trailer. And even with the cow jumping, he still kept coming back to that same pasture because he wanted to be with his buddy that did not jump the fence. We'd get him back into the pasture, he'd be there, but we knew where he was. Through that all, I began to be thankful that we knew where he was. He wasn't out, he didn't go the other direction, which would have been 31. So the last thing I would have wanted is a cow to get onto US 31 and somebody hit it at 70 miles an hour. But, so we were thankful that we knew where he was. And in that 3 weeks that they were gone, it snowed. So, he's at the back of a 40-acre pasture, and here I am carrying buckets of water clear back there, clearing buckets of feed clear back there, through snow drifts, because just 2 inches of snow turns into a 2-foot snow drift. But through that all, I found myself praising God. I found myself singing, making that trip. I kept a thankful heart, and God taught me so many things while going through it. So be thankful in any circumstance. And thankfully, those were some of the easiest steers we had to load out when it came time to haul them in. Maybe it's just thinking, but he did taste good too. Yep. Let me see if I can get this back on track now. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Prayer with thanksgiving drives out anxiousness. That thankful attitude keeps us from being overwhelmed. It keeps us calm. It helps us keep us in focus. It maintains our ability to recognize that we are positioning ourselves in submission to God. Sometimes when I read this passage, I can't help but think of Paul when he talks about the thorn in his flesh keeping himself humble before God. So although he had a thorn in his flesh that he prayed to have removed, he remained thankful because it kept himself humble. It kept himself from thinking that he was somebody. It kept him from getting puffed up and thinking that because he was healing all these people, that somehow he was more than what he was. He was just a servant of God. And there's multiple times that Paul links thankfulness and peace that we'll look at. The next one is here in Colossians 3:15. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." It's almost like he's saying here, let the peace of God be prominent in your heart. Oh yeah, and be thankful. It almost seems like it's two separate thoughts in one verse, but it's not. It's completely linked and almost interchangeable at times here, especially in the life of a believer. Be thankful, and you'll get the peace of God. If you have the peace of God, there's a lot to be thankful for. When you're operating out of a thankful heart, it's hard to stay frustrated. It's hard to let anything consume you with worry, anxiety, or fear. Thankfulness should be more than just once a year in the fall. It's a way of life. And when it becomes a regular part of your personal relationship with God, it unlocks doors that otherwise would be shut. If you're not exercising thanks already when you're talking to God in your prayer time, that's okay. It's the wonderful thing about what Jesus did for us when he hung on the cross, died, and then rose again. He gives us new life, and he makes things new all the time. So that means we can start at any time. God's always looking for us to keep getting closer to him, to continue to open up revelation to us of how he wants to grow us. So as you pray, start thanking God and see what happens. You'll notice a change in yourself as well. In closing here, if you're taking notes this morning, here's some things that a thankful heart can really do. First one is it gets our focus off of ourselves and back to God. God should always be our focus. We lift him up and we magnify his name. Thanking him keeps us in focus there. A thankful heart reminds us that we can't do everything ourselves. It keeps us humble. Reliance on God is not a bad thing. Especially as men, sometimes we have a tendency to try to not want to realize that we are reliant on somebody else. But reliance on God is a very, very good thing. Because you leave it to ourselves, and we will mess it up. But being thankful, we constantly go back to God for the answer. Thirdly, it fills the space we would otherwise try to complain. One thing the enemy wants us to do is to complain and get our focus off of God. See, complaining focuses on the problem. Thanksgiving will focus on the solution to the problem, which is found in Jesus. Next, it helps us realize that we have a lot to be thankful for. If you don't think there's much to be thankful for, think about this. There's a 1 in 5 chance that you would be born in the U.S. here. That's less than 20% of a chance that you would have been born in the U.S. And we are highly blessed in this country. There are a lot of amenities that we have here that they don't in other countries. Before coming this morning, I would guess that most of you probably took a shower. I didn't smell anything today, so I would guess you guys all took showers. Probably with hot water. Many of you probably had something to eat. You probably drove here in your own car. And from the looks of it, most everybody put on clean clothes. Those are simple things that we take for granted. But we are highly blessed here. Right now, I know a lot of people are hunting. It's that time of year. Everybody stocks their freezer. But if you're out there sitting for any amount of time, you see a lot of God's creation. I mean, he's the best artist I know of. So even that snow out there this morning looked good. Hey, I love the snow. So you guys, that snow is not a four-letter word to me. Thankfulness unlocks doors to help us grow deeper in God's love. There's no limit to God's love for us. He wants to show us what he has for us. And being appreciative puts us in a position to see what he has. It helps us see things more clearly, to see a bigger portion of the picture. So as you leave today, I ask you this question. What are you thankful for? You don't need to answer that right now. You don't need to say it out loud. But just think about, what are you truly thankful for? Have you prayed a prayer and had it come to pass? Are you thankful for somebody that God put in your life? Thankful for how God's watching over you when you find out things that you would have otherwise encountered had God not intervened? Here's one thing that we all can be thankful for. That God sent his Son to the earth to be born a man, to live a perfect life, and then to die on the cross and take our sins for him, for us. To overcome the grave and rise again. And then he didn't stop there. He sent his Holy Spirit to live in us and give us his divine power. I'm thankful God has everything under control. Nothing's really going to surprise him. He's all that really matters. So everything else is minor compared to him. Well, let's pray. Well, Father, we're thankful this morning. Lord, we're thankful of the wonderful things that you are doing, God. We're thankful that although things seem difficult, they are not, Lord. Lord, you tell us to cast all of our cares on you. Lord, we do that exact thing this morning. Lord, we come to you with a thankful heart. We come to you with thanksgiving. Lord, we praise your name, for it is good. Oh, Lord, there is nothing that you cannot do. Lord, we thank you for family members that we will encounter this next week. We thank you for family members that might be ripe for hearing the gospel, Lord. Lord, let our lives reflect your gospel. Let our lives reflect what you have for us, Lord. Lord, have your way. Lord, we pray protection over each and every person in the congregation, Lord. We pray protection over this entire county. Lord, we come against the name of coronavirus over COVID, Lord. Lord, we tell it to be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for continuing to watch over this entire nation. Lord, you are going to do something great, and we keep our eyes open, Lord. We are the watchmen looking to see you coming, Lord. Lord, we're looking to see you moving now, Lord. Lord, we know that you have so much planned for now that you want to do in your church, God. Lord, we thank you for being right there with us, for continuing to give us that direction. And we praise you for it, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.